Good morning and a very warm welcome to you to our service this morning, whether you're here with us in church, watching at home, or indeed join us later on the social media platforms. I was priding myself that for one of two Sundays in the year, my watch was absolutely exactly at the right time. So I was here at 11 o'clock, but Salu time seems to be running 5 minutes behind Greenwich Mean Time, so apologies for the slight delay. And thanks to our IT team, because normally things run without a hitch, and we take it for granted, and we shouldn't, so thank you guys. After the service today, if you wish to, there's the opportunity to come through next door for a cup of tea or coffee, and it works like this. You go into the small hall to the counter as usual, present your mug, and tell the people who are serving whether you want tea or coffee. You can collect it there, and you can either choose to stay in the small hall and stand and chat, as some people do, or if you prefer and feel more comfortable, you can come through into the large hall where there are tables set out. You can just take a seat at a table to have your tea or coffee. The arrangements for the rest of the week, our prayer time on Wednesday at 1 o'clock as usual, and then on Wednesday evening our Zoom chat session starts at 7:30. On Friday, TOFM meet at 10 o'clock in St Margaret's Hall, and you're asked please to bring your own cup along for that. We have Connect next Sunday, again, it's first Sunday of the month at 9:30 a.m. And I think we're maybe not totally resuming normal service, but we will be serving tea and coffee and something to eat. So it will feel a bit more like a normal Connect. And that's next Sunday morning at 9:30. If you're free and able to come, please do join us there. A couple of other things. We've talked on a number of occasions about presbytery planning and the processes that are involved in that. And we have now got a focus group of 10 people who will meet with representatives of the presbytery planning team a week on Tuesday evening, and we'll probably say a bit more about that next week. Finally, Jim Gibson, who's one of the school pastors, is taking part in a sponsored walk this coming Saturday from Findhorn to Lossiemouth, I think it is. And this is a fundraiser. The street pastors and school pastors have had some cuts in their funding. So this is to support the Elgin Street Pastors and the Elgin Forest School Pastors. There is a Just Giving page, and we'll put the link on that on the email. But I believe Jim has got a sponsor sheet with him this morning. So if he doesn't grab you, you go to him and sign up to sponsor him for his walk for this very worthwhile cause. And finally, thanks to Grant again for taking the service this morning. And over to you, Grant.
Thank you, Alistair. Sorry about the hiccups. I think we're probably just going to have to stream the service and then put it up afterwards. Can we get onto the PowerPoint, please, Willie? I'll take it through from here, just so I know what's... So a quick resume of the intimations. So, good morning, and may I add... Our theme for this morning is, you can be a hero. And what I want you to do is take your minds back to a wet Glasgow night in 2014 at Hampden Park. It was the Commonwealth Games. It was the 5,000 meter men's final. And a 17-year-old from the Solomon Islands, Rosfellow Suyozi, was running. And he finished 24th out of 24th. He was lapped 3 times, and he actually finished a minute and a half behind the last finisher. He said, "I felt so tired." He said, "It was too cold for me. It was difficult to finish the race. I almost gave up. But the crowd were shouting, 'Go, go,' so I had to finish the race." You can almost hear that Hampden roar as he crossed the line. And the race is not always to the swift, but to those who keep on running. And as we will see, the Christian life can be like that. Our call to worship. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And as we come to him, that living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God to be precious to him, we also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Let us sing together, CH4 512, "To God Be the Glory," a hymn celebrating the greatness of God, calling upon us to have an appreciation for the wonderful things he has done. CH4 512, "To God Be the Glory." Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father in heaven, maker of heaven and earth, you alone are worthy of our praise. Creator God, we glimpse your beauty in the setting sun, the mountaintop, the eagle's wing. We sense your power in the thunder crash, the lightning flash, and the ocean's roar. Creator God, we praise you. Jesus, we see your love stretched out upon a cruel cross. We stand at awe at your sacrifice, pure love poured out for humankind. Jesus, we give you thanks. Holy Spirit, we see your power in lives transformed, renewed enthusiasm for you. We listen for your still small voice, comforting, guiding, calling. Holy Spirit, warm our hearts. From the moment we awake to face the day ahead, you are with us. Through good times and bad times, remind us you are there when you seem far off. Through the hours of the day in our travels and work, our church life, you are with us. In decisions we must make, your wisdom enough for our needs. May we hear your voice. May we action your words. As we lay down to rest at the end of the day, you are with us. As we lay our fears at our feet, your peace is enough for our needs. May we know that perfect peace with you, with each other, with creation, the peace that only you can give. Lord God, your love for humankind, present in the beginning of all things, extends throughout history and touches our lives. Your love sees failings and forgives. Your love feels pain and wipes away our tears. Your love knows grief and comforts the sorrowful. Your love sees sin and still loves the sinner. Forgive us when we fail to live lives that reflect your love. Forgive us the many times when we take for granted all that you have done for us. Transform us through your Holy Spirit. Make us disciples worthy of your name and empower us to serve you this day and all days, both as individuals and as a community. Amen. And let us join together in the words that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The Olympic motto until this year was faster, higher, stronger. And our strapline for today is the new Olympic motto, faster, higher, stronger, together. Some of you may have seen this before at an online connect. I have a question for you. The goal is to make the orange get to the bottom of the jug of water without adding weight. How do you achieve this? Have a think about it. You've got 5 seconds, and then I'm going to play the clip. How does that orange get to the bottom of the jug of water? Okay, let's see what's going on. So Shona has agreed to do this experiment. We have a jug of water and a tangerine. Now, Shona, what happens when you put the tangerine in the water? Let's see. It floats. Okay. The next stage of this experiment, therefore, is to take the orange out and take the skin off. And now that you've finished, what I want you to do is put the tangerine back in the water and see what happens. Thank you. So something strange has happened for us to achieve our goal. By taking the skin off, we have made the orange lighter and it sunk to the bottom of the jug. For someone to compete at the highest level, depending on the event, they need to run faster, jump higher, be stronger. They also need years of training, dedication and a team behind them. They can't do it by themselves. For swimmers, runners, cyclists, skaters, skiers, bobslayers, skeleton eventers and jumpers, They don't want to have any extra weight for them to achieve their ambition. They wear special body suits, special hats, special helmets. They even shave their bodies to eliminate anything that might slow them down in their effort to achieve their goal. Ian Mackay is going to read to us from Hebrews, which tell us what's required to run the life of faith. And it's not just about taking part. More importantly, it's about crossing the line. Ian.
Therefore, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. May God bless this reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Ian. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come to our third sermon in a series under the umbrella of finding a usable future in the past. A series underpinning our efforts as a church to discern what God is up to here at Salyu. In the Bible, the Christian life is described both as a race and as a fight, with the reward of a crown for victory, which is eternal and will not wither and die, unlike the victor's crowns of the Greek and Roman games of that time. This crown, of course, is eternal life in the new heaven and the new earth, in the world to come. It's life after death. In our text today, the Christian life is likened to a race, which is not always to the swift, but to those who keep on running. It's not a sprint. It's more like an endurance race, more like a marathon or even an ultramarathon. And the challenge is to complete the course, to cross the finishing line. And this race is the life of faith. Not only do we have to cross the start line, i.e. profess faith in Jesus Christ and become his disciples, we need to push on with determination to cross that finishing line, to live the life of faith until our final breath, to live the life that he has called each one of us to live. And the Christian life is also a fight. We will face opposition, discouragement, disappointment. We'll get a black eye or two and get knocked down, but we are urged to end up, to get up and fight to the end. And we need to overcome that strong temptation to give in, what endurance runners call hitting the wall, always remembering that we have the help and grace of God to continue, as well as the example of those who have gone before us and the fellowship and support of our church community. Our text this morning provides motivation for discouraged and weary Jesus followers to continue to endure the struggles of the Christian faith. And when we meet together, to then meet with conviction, confidence, and joy. So the text is as relevant today as it was when that letter was originally written. And the letter was written to a group of second and third generation Christians who were on the back foot. Their numbers were falling and people were returning to their old ways. They were probably Jewish Christians in Rome who were being pressurized by their Jewish community to return to traditional Judaism and reject Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They may also have experienced persecution under Nero and were wondering what advantage faith in Jesus offered them. Was it all worth it? And Christianity is always countercultural. It doesn't come naturally. For example, we're asked to bear one another's burdens in a culture of narcissism. Forgive those who stab us in the back and then keep doing it again and again and again. We tell people about Jesus and invite them to church, and it just doesn't impact at all. Living like this can cause faith fatigue, and then the doubt creeps in. We tell ourselves we'd be better off playing golf on Sunday, having brunch with the Sunday papers, buying state-of-the-art technology instead of giving to good causes. Whatever it is, we're better off doing anything other than faith-related activity. And what's the point anyway? The world just continues to get hungry. Wars continue to happen. We keep on destroying the planet. What then happens? We become disheartened, tired, disillusioned. We stop coming to worship. It's no longer a priority. We stop making sacrifices for the Christian life. We drop out of the race. And this letter was written as an encouragement, pointing out the merits of believing in Jesus. Don't stop. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep going. It's worth it. Show hospitality to strangers. Defend the weak. Reach out to those in trouble. Tell people about Jesus. Everything that Jesus asks us to do, it's worth it. And it's a timely letter for us. We are on the back foot. Our numbers are falling. We are discouraged. And the Church of Scotland in particular, not only in the secular world, but also in the Christian world, is on the back foot. Many have left the church for other denominations. Many have left the church full stop. Many are just beginning to attend less. We hear about people coming to faith, life's change, church growth, but currently not in our backyard. Whatever the reasons, the letter to the Hebrew is an encouragement to us, an energy boost during the times when we hit the wall, when all that we can see is Jesus hanging on a cross, defeated by the powers of the world, and a Christian life that is full of wearying rejection, defeat, suffering, when we hit that wall. Faith in Jesus can be a bit like an iceberg, can't it? Above the water, that's all we see. A world that just doesn't care, and at worst, persecutes us. But there is so much more we can see, can't see. Jesus on the throne, victorious, sitting at the right hand of God, the exalted Christ. That's all beneath the water. We are told faith is assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, things under the water. And Jesus chose the path of suffering, not for his sake, but for ours. It was not just his death on a cross that saved us, but his whole life of perfect obedience. So the path of salvation is a life patterned after the life of Jesus, a willingness to follow Jesus, and as we saw last week, to be a disciple, to be transformed into his likeness. Now, Jesus started the race in one sense at Christmas, and he endured the cross for joy. And the meaning of joy depends how you translate the word for. So it can either mean that Jesus came to earth to suffer instead of staying in heaven and enjoying that intimate relationship he had with the Father. Or it can mean that Jesus obtains joy by bringing salvation to those who cross the finishing line through enduring the cross, because we cannot save ourselves. So both are probably the catch, what's going on. Jesus, who ran that race without sin, has made it possible for us to follow him. Jesus blazed the trail and is therefore called, as we heard, the pioneer, the author of our faith. He is also the perfecter of our faith, as we can be made right with God, as it was in the Garden of Eden. So the race that Jesus travelled is now set before each one of us. It can be full of discouragement, hardship and suffering. But again, as we saw last week, it's a life that can make us fully alive when we can know his pleasure in the here and now. Eric Little's words to Jenny, he made me fast and I feel his pleasure. Do what God wants you to do. And even though it's not great roundabout, you can still feel fully alive. And we're not the only ones to run this race. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, a phrase that's often taken out of context. Times magazine in 1953 used it to describe a large gathering of Jehovah's Witnesses in New York City. Apparently, the phrase has also been used as an argument for maintaining a graveyard that surrounds a church building. It's also been misused to convey the idea that our loved ones, those who already died, are somehow looking down on us as we go about our daily living. Hebrews 12 starts with the word therefore, providing a link to chapter 11, what goes before it. Here there is an impressive list of heroic figures from the Old Testament, men and women whose stories are there to encourage us. Some of these heroes of the Bible are well-known personalities. Others remain anonymous. And the writer describes them all as a great cloud of witness. Community is important. We will struggle to do it on our own. We need to depend on each other, to share each other's struggles and burdens when we hit the wall, to help each other across that finishing line. The scene setter strapline also emphasized the need for community with the word together. Hebrews 11 is here to motivate and encourage us. If these folks could live by faith, so can we. They provide an example to be imitated. In the last 500 years, society has gone where the existence of God is assumed and socially supported. You were mad if you didn't believe in God. Then we're now in a society where belief in God is one among many options, and it's not socially supported. And one of the themes that came out of the recent talk about was the warmth of this congregation, a caring and concerned community, a fellowship. And that Greek word is koinonia, and expresses the idea of being together for mutual benefit. Many people who profess Christian faith today do not recognize the importance of fellowship or local church involvement. Christian fellowship is essential for spiritual growth. Many aspects of our spiritual lives depend on being together with other believers. For instance, encouragement, teaching, serving, praying, worshiping, in short, to share life together. And this shared life, this love we have for each other, can influence others to have faith in Jesus Christ. Over COVID, we've been able to do all these activities through our streaming of services and social media platforms. COVID has been a game changer in how we are to be church as we move forward. And we need to be aware of the problems that this technology can bring. With online services, it's easier to become a consumer of God, and meeting together loses its priority. It's not a new problem. Hebrews 10:25 warns us, "Let us not neglect meeting together, as some have made a habit, but let us encourage one another." The community we have at Salyut is precious, but we can't take it for granted. The instruction is clear. In these COVID times, and the challenge is to find ways to facilitate and keep meeting together. When Leonardo da Vinci had finished his painting, The Last Supper, he apparently showed it to a trusted friend. And the friend waxed lyrical about it, and in particular the gold chalice in front of Jesus, which looked really lifelike, and the person felt he could drink out of it. Leonardo then promptly removed the cup from the painting. Why? Because nothing must take away from Jesus, who is the central point, the one we must fix our focus on. The scene setter emphasized the need to shed weight, to be faster, to go higher. In the Christian life, we need to throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that entangles, i.e. everything that detracts from fixing our eyes on Jesus. And pastorally, it's a fine line between things that hinder and the sin that entangles. Let me try to explain. Things that hinder may be all right in themselves, reading books, watching TV, listening to music, shopping, our day-to-day activities. But these things can become addictions and entangle us. We all have desires, and so we all suffer from addiction. Addiction most of us won't recognize. Addiction affects the desires we have, attaches the desires we have to certain behaviors, or certain things, or certain people. And these objects of attachment can become preoccupations and obsessions, which then come to rule our lives. And the same biological processes that are responsible for addiction to alcohol and drugs are also responsible for addiction to work, relationships, sex, power, junk food, internet, so on. The more you have, the more you want. And addiction then makes idolaters of us, because it forces us to worship those objects of attachment. So hindrances and sin can be a fine line and may end up being the same thing. Don't believe me? Try and cut out something you do a lot and see what happens. You may suffer a degree of distress. It probably won't be as dramatic as going cold turkey, but it will show a level of dependency, addiction. You need to do something about that. I know what happens when I give up coffee to try and prove that I'm not addicted. Some of us may be counting, some of us may be coming to the starting blocks of the life of faith with regrets over personal, family, or spiritual failure. We may even have stumbled coming out of the blocks. We may have tripped during the race. We might even be starting the race a little late on in life. Doesn't matter. You've crossed the start line. Now you have to keep going. We need to take sin seriously. We need to take discipleship seriously. We need to meeting together a priority. And we must not take our church community for granted. We need each other to help us fix our eyes on Jesus. So let us commit to being faster, higher, stronger together. Remembering the race is not always to the swift, but to those who keep running, and that we can all become heroes, part of that great cloud of witness, by inspiring those around us to fix their eyes on Jesus. We're all in it together. Amen. Let us pray. We give thanks to the community of faith here at SALU, for the community of faith online. May we learn how to be a community together, supporting each other in this life of faith. We give you thanks for those who have gone before us, who have encouraged us on our way. And as we head into this week, may we know your presence, your pleasure, as we live for you. Help us to fix our eyes on you, knowing that what we do has eternal significance. Equip us for the tasks that lie ahead, and that we will take our part and play our part in that great cloud of witness. In Jesus' name, amen. We now sing our hymn of dedication, dedicating not only ourselves, but also our gifts, our talents, our wealth, our church. Hymn 533, Will You Come and Follow Me? And then Valerie Moore will lead us in prayers of the future and intercession.
I to the hills will lift mine eyes, from whence doth come mine aid. My safety cometh from the Lord, who heaven and earth hath made. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we begin by praying for our church here at St. Andrew's, Lambride and Urquhart, which has stood strong for some 200 years, none more so than during the long months of lockdown, when the technical expertise and fellowship within our congregation kept us united with online services, Zoom chats and meetings, the prayer diary and guild newsletters. We now welcome being able to work and to worship in church again, with some restrictions being lifted, and welcome also the return of the thrift shop, TOFM and guild meetings, all offering occasions for get-togethers and companionship. In these uncertain times for the Church of Scotland, we pray for the future of our church, that it will continue to be a beacon of light and comfort, serving the community as it has always done. Give strength and guidance to all involved in the current presbytery planning process. We thank you for the ministry of previous ministers throughout the history of our church, and we give thanks for guiding Breda and Francie to this lovely corner of Scotland. We know this has not been an easy first year for them, but Breda's positivity has been an inspiration to us all. We look forward to welcoming him back to our midst, fully restored to good health. Our thanks to Grant, to Morris, and to all who have carried on providing us with uplifting Sunday services. We pray for all who feel forgotten, vulnerable, and unseen, those who are waiting for the results of tests, delayed treatments, or surgery. With the onset of the dark nights and winter months ahead, help us to be a friend and a listening ear to those who suffer. In their loneliness, be their comfort. In their darkness, their guiding light. And in their anxiety, their hope. We thank you for the dedication and skill of all who care for the sick and needy, whether at home, in hospital, or in care. And we now take a quiet moment to think of somebody close to us. We can all remember the upsetting televised scenes from Kabul airport. We still grieve for Afghanistan, for those who call it home, those exiled, or those who had to leave suddenly to forge new lives in a foreign country. We ask for your blessing now on the families being rehomed here in Scotland, where we trust they will receive the warmest of welcomes, enabling them to rebuild their shattered lives. We pray for peace, dignity, and freedom for the people, not only of Afghanistan, but of all countries ravaged by war and conflict. And we pray for courage, vision, and generosity within the international community responding to their needs. We thank you for the work of organizations such as Christian Aid and Save the Children, working tirelessly in difficult conditions across the world, bringing help, comfort, and medical relief to so many. We remember those who are suffering from the results of extreme weather events, floods, wildfires, landslides, those whose daily aspects of life have been shattered, and those who face drought and food shortages. We pray for world leaders as they gather now in Glasgow for the COP Climate Summit. Grant them wisdom to make just decisions which respect the earth and all living on it. Grant them strength and hope for the future as they work to adapt to the changing climate. Encourage us all to be caretakers and stewards of this beautiful world created for us by you. A world with its ever-changing seasons and abundance of gifts. Help us to ensure that these gifts will continue to be available for future generations to enjoy. In these unsettled times, we pray for those in authority, local and national leaders who have to make difficult and often unpopular decisions affecting our lives. Grant them wisdom, courage, and insight. And we pray that your voice will always be heard. This is the time of year when we send our Blythewood Christmas boxes on their way to vulnerable Eastern European families who have so little. We know the comfort and joy these boxes bring, and we would ask for your blessing on all who receive them. May they know that they are not forgotten and that people do care. Dear Lord, help us to walk more closely with you, willing to follow where you lead, trusting in you for the future. looking to you for the present, in the knowledge that in all things, at all times and in all places, we are held safely in your fatherly love. Amen.
Thank you, Valerie. Let us join together to sing together our final item of praise, 135, Courage, Brother, Do Not Stumble. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. And the Lord will be ahead of us to make our pathways straight. He will be at our back to shelter us from the onslaughts of evil. He will be beside us to enfold us in his loving arms. He will be underneath us to pick us up the day when we might stumble or fall. He will be above us to bless us, and he will dwell within us so that we might live from his grace and love. Amen.